And with that, let's jump into today's main conversation with Holly Ellis. She's the Public Works Director at the City of Sandpoint. And we're going to be talking about the municipal bond that the city is posing as a ballot question for city residents. So, Holly, tell us what the bond is and then, you know, briefly why.
Well, first, thank you so much for inviting me on here and to speak on this item. And again, for last week at the candidate forum to speak on this big bond and initiative on the ballot as well. On November 4th, the city of Sandpoint is asking voters to decide whether or not to allow the city to go into debt. So it's a bond authorization for our wastewater treatment plant replacement project. So our wastewater treatment plant is at the end of its useful life. We're looking at replacing. The bond is a financing opportunity for us to spread that cost out over a longer period of time. So the authorization would allow the city to go into debt up to $130 million. And one important thing to point out on this bond opportunity is that it's not an impact to taxes. It's actually our rates that would be impacted. So, and the purpose of this is to replace our wastewater treatment plant. We did an kind of a high level engineering effort to identify what the costs would be. And it came back with $130 million to replace the project. So that's the ask that's on this upcoming ballot election.
So let's dig into the ask part a little bit more, and then I want to circle back on, you know, what the wastewater treatment plant actually needs, which sounds like it needs kind of a whole rebuild. But so the total bond is a maximum of $130 million. And that's not actually going to be a tax, but that's reflected in the ratepayers for water and sewer, right?
Yes, that's right. So it would not impact your taxpayer bills. If you are a Bonner County resident, if you're in Ponderay, this would not be impacting your budget. It would, however, impact any sewer ratepayers. So for the city of Sandpoint, that's mostly limited to our city limits. We have a couple of folks who are on septic who wouldn't be impacted. But if you pay a sewer bill in the city of Sandpoint, the bond authority of us going up to the city going up to debt $130 million could impact sewer rates significantly. If we were to authorize debt in that full amount of $130 million, the sewer rates could see an increase of up to 106%.
So about
doubling the sewer bill that folks are paying.
And that's as you're projecting it, that'd be the high end. But the city is intending, once they have the authority for this, to go out and seek other financing.
That's right. The approach in asking for the full amount was kind of twofold. One was to authorize the full project to eliminate any funding risks. So if we didn't bond for enough, we might find a situation where there is a grant opportunity with a match that we would not be able to support because we didn't have the funds to support it or the debt authority to support the grant matching component. So it opens us up to funding opportunities. The other reason that we're asking for the full project amount is we're wanting to do this in one go. The worst case scenario from many perspectives is to have to come back to the community again and say, we need another bond. So we picked the $130 million as a one-time effort. We'll go out and ask the voters one time for the full project amount. And that way there's no confusion when 5 years we're not asking for another bond and another election. The intent is for us to ask for that debt authority that could increase rates up to 106%. And the hope is that we can keep the construction costs far below that $130 million, looking at grant opportunities, looking at engineering cost-saving analysis. And then we're also going to look to DEQ, perhaps, and other funding authorities to help us get that construction costs down. Perhaps we can negotiate our permit or find other ways to save money on the construction.
We're in a time when it really looks like the at least the federal government is really trying to shrink. Is there a very good prospect we're going to be able to get money from the federal government to help with this? I don't know where that comes from. I imagine there are some, like EPA or some of these other agencies may have grants to help with projects like this.
Well, we're not alone in looking for the funding. 51% of wastewater treatment facilities in the state of Idaho are out of compliance with DEQ and therefore the EPA. So we're not alone in looking for money. We have seen some success. So back in January, the city of Sandpoint submitted a letter of interest to the Department of Environmental Quality, and they have authorized or earmarked $38 million in loans to the city. With that was $3 million in grants. So loan forgiveness up to $3 million, which is really great. It's not enough, but it's something. I really credit our mayor, Jeremy Grimm. He has been talking with senators and going down to Boise very frequently and really shining a light on this issue that we are having, this critical issue we're having with our wastewater treatment plant, the need for our plant, and ultimately the funding for our plant. To put this on the backs of the ratepayers is a problem. For doubling sewer rates to that amount is an issue. And so we're doing everything we can to look for grants. And he's, again, hitting the senators and trying to reach the federal level to ask for not loans, because we've got loans. There are many loan programs, but we really need loan forgiveness and a true grant dollars for this project so that our community can thrive and continue to thrive. So it's absolutely a challenge. It's a challenge we're aware of, and he's taking that head on, and we'll see what the federal government, what they can do. One thing that we will be able to say, if this bond does pass, we'll have hard numbers on where our rates might go. And that's a strong story to tell our federal and senators, state senators. We really try as a society to keep utility rates below 2% per household annual income. And so increasing our rates by 200%, I believe we'd be looking about 4% of utility rates in Sandpoint, which is double what the EPA national standard is trying to keep below.
Well, what happens if the bond doesn't pass? It gets even, and the work has to proceed, it gets quite a bit more expensive.
We'd absolutely have to reassess if the bond did not pass. The project is moving forward. Unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of time and to phase this out and to take small pieces. Part of the reason we're here and we're talking about reconstructing the plant is because of the condition and the high risk of failures and polluting our environment. So if the bond did not pass, it's not a matter of, unfortunately, it's not a matter of do we do this project or not, rather how we do this project and how we fund the project. There's a cash funding alternative where if we didn't have the opportunity to bond and go into debt and spread the payments out over the life of a long-time loan, say 30, 40 years, very similar to a house, we'd have to cash front that project and increase the utility rates upwards of almost 600%. Again, we're still going to be looking for grant opportunities. If we didn't have this bond in hand, we would not score as highly for a lot of grants. So we kind of risk losing some grant opportunities. There's also some funding opportunities, USDA Rural Development, for example. They require a bond in hand and authority to go into debt before you can even apply for their loan. And they actually have a lot of grant opportunities as well, tied to the feds. So we'd reassess, and then the project has to move forward. So we might have to explore a scenario where we're cash funding and raising rates 600%.
So elaborate on this has to move forward. we've been actually talking about, that's getting old. The wastewater plant is getting old, and it's going to be a problem. At one time, the city, actually a good 10 years back now, the city bought acreage off of Baldy with the idea that the wastewater plant would move there and use a different technology. And that turned out to be quite a bit more expensive to try to do it that way. But right now, the wastewater plant goes out of compliance during stormwater events, as I understand. But can you tell us why it's built up to the point that we really got to handle it now?
There's really two challenges that we're facing at our wastewater treatment plant, two primary challenges. One is aging infrastructure. So we have components in our wastewater treatment plant, the primary clarifiers particularly. They were brought here in the 1950s from the Naval Farragut, and they're still in use today. They had their concrete facilities, and they made really great concrete back then. But we're seeing the end of their life there. We had some other major upgrades in the 1980s. We had our secondary clarifiers installed, our aeration basin installed. Since the 1980s, we've done some improvements, some pretty major improvements in 08. But otherwise, it's aging infrastructure. The concrete is starting to get aggregated, crack. There's a lot of outdated electrical. If you can imagine, the electrical work in the 80s is really not up to snuff anymore. So it's that critical need. And with that aging infrastructure, we're risking failure. And at a wastewater treatment plant, unfortunately, the risk of a failure means polluting our Lake Ponderay. Our wastewater treatment plant and all the folks who operate there are operating every day to protect our waterway and protect our water. North Idaho, we're so proud of how clean our water is. And we try to keep it that way for our neighbors to the south, where that's their drinking water source. So we want to continue to recreate, swim in our river. So, you know, that's just one piece of it in trying to protect the environment from a failing component. The other component is we have, it's called inflow and infiltration, otherwise known as I&I events. So we have heavy rain events or rain on snow events in particular, where our collection system, again, is challenged. It has a lot of old, light, leaky pipes and infrastructure. Groundwater, stormwater gets into our collection system, all the pipes that are underground throughout Sandpoint, and it finds its way downstream. Gravity flows right to our wastewater treatment plant. We actually see the flows at the wastewater treatment plant increase up to tenfold. And our wastewater treatment plant is simply not designed for that type of capacity. So when we have these events, our operators are very creative in how they operate the plant to just, quite frankly, make it work. But it's really a fine line there between how they're able to operate and make that plant work and treat all that extra water that's coming down the pipes, and a risk of failure where there's an overflow and there's untreated discharge right out to the river. So it's a dance we play every year. We've been very successful in the past in making our 5 MGD plant accommodate a 10 MGD event, but we've got to minimize that risk and replace our treatment plant and accommodate those flows appropriately.
So aside from rebuilding the plant itself, it sounds like the pipe infrastructure needs replacing. Is that part of this project?
In 1995, we identified that we had an I&I issue, and we have been working ever since to resolve that concern. It's exactly as you described, replacing main lines, manholes, pipes, sealing every crack. And to date, particularly since 2018 and for the next 5 years, the city aggressively was trying to reduce I&I, completing 25% of the mainline replacement in the system, manhole replacements. The city even replaced 100 private laterals. And we did see success in reducing some of the I&I. We had JUB Engineers was really heading that effort on for us. And they came back with a report that, in summary, said, you're going to have to live with INI. And there's a couple reasons for it. One is our high groundwater. So our water is above our sewer pipes. And the other is we have clay soils. So year round, we have a lot of groundwater that's just holds in our soils and around our pipes. And water will always find the path of least resistance. And it aggressively is always looking for that way out. It doesn't like to be trapped in the clay. So their recommendation or their results were you've got to continue to try to reduce INI, but it's not cost effective. You're better off living with it and replacing your treatment plant, wastewater treatment plant, to accommodate some form of INI. Mm-hmm. So our efforts in reducing it, replacing our main lines and manholes, the rest of the system, it's still going to be an effort that we take on every year, but we will always have to live with this challenge. Mm-hmm.
Kind of have to chip away at it, basically, over time. At least that part of the infrastructure, the piping. So what is this, a complete rebuild? Will this give us a little bit of detail on what the $130 million is going to do? And I assume there's like new technologies that come on. One question circulated my mind, because I'm a user of Memorial Field, is there a technology that kind of relieves the smell that comes from the wastewater plant?
Odor control is certainly a priority of this one. We have so many nice and wonderful neighbors, and odor control is a focus. Right now, we have virtually no odor control at the plant. So the new plant is going to have a new odor control technology, and there will be a huge improvement to those. So the Stinky Festival might have a new nickname after this new wastewater treatment plant is constructed. When I first started with the city, everyone would say, oh, we have a wastewater treatment plant that needs to be reconstructed. And my immediate thought was, well, it's not the whole plant. Certainly, it's a component of the plant. It's one process or one phase. And the reality I learned quite quickly is it is the entire wastewater treatment plant. So we're looking at redoing our primary treatment, our biological treatment, our disinfection, even our digesters or our solids handling. We are trying to rehab and any opportunities to keep a facility, particularly the structure, and rehab the structure. We're absolutely going to take those opportunities to keep costs low, but every facility is going to be touched in some way. So our administration building, where our crews are working out of, they are actually working out of a temporary trailer right now because their previous administration building is
looks like
it's not occupied. You cannot occupy it. Yeah. It does. It's flooded.
I saw some pictures that it floods when you get these big events. Yeah,
many times, and you can't have your computers where you've got flooding coming up through your office floor. Yeah.
And basically, some sewage sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So it's all the pieces. We will. One thing that we're trying to accommodate is one lesson we learned after COVID was we don't want to be reliant on any supplier or any proprietary product. So we're trying to design this plant so that if we had another event where our supply chains had another hiccup, we would be resilient and be able to make it through. So that's one lens that we've got. We're really looking at keeping a very similar process as to what's there today, a conventional wastewater treatment plant where you have primary, in this case, primary filters is what our engineers are working at. That's the first phase. And then secondary clarifiers for the biological treatment to get all the bugs out of the water. We're looking at converting from a chlorine disinfection to UV disinfection so that we don't have to keep chlorine gas on site and trying to reduce our chemicals. But a lot of it is the tried and true technology with some odor control.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. But one objection I've heard out there is that, can the city really handle this big of a project? You know, so there's a question of confidence by at least some of the voters. And how would you respond to that?
Oh, absolutely. This is, the mayor says all the time, this is going to be the largest project in Bonner County history, second to the byway. It's a massive undertaking. And the approach that we would take is to hire the right team to support it. So we are looking at doing a progressive form of contracting, either design build or CMGC, where you engage the contractors at the same time of an engineer, really making sure we get the right engineering team who's qualified and who has done these projects before, bringing in a contractor at that same time. The value in that is there's so much value that contractors can bring to a project. They can work together with the engineers. I think that's really going to be the key to success of this project. It not only helps the timeline of the project, but it simply helps the efficiency of the project and the quality of the project. The contractors are going to be responsible for operating the plant rebuilding the plant while operating the plant at the same time. So who better to bring in early and help us figure out how to make this project a success? So we've kind of been thinking about that, and that's one way that we can make sure that this project's a success for the community.
Okay. Well, the wastewater treatment plant proposed bond is going to be on the ballot on November 4th. That's next Tuesday when city residents can go vote. Actually, can go vote early right now at the county elections office. And if between now and then people want to get more information to inform their vote, what do they do?
Please check out our website, www.sandpoint-wwtp.org. You can find that also on our city website, sandpointidaho.gov. There's a news page that links you to the wastewater treatment plant page, but there's a bunch of information. I'm hoping we get a video up there here soon as well that shows you some of our challenges and our sewage coming up on the floors. But please educate yourselves, and I really appreciate your time, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.